I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the program. Nice to have you. A good second hour upcoming. As a reminder, we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. 1-800-636-8686. We are talking America's team, the Cleveland Browns. I can't wait to do so, and I will get to it in just one moment. Coming up next hour, an offensive lineman for the L.A. Chargers, Rashawn Slater. Big, big addition for them. And we'll hit that next hour. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide and in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. Did I mention America's team? Yes, I did. We're talking Browns football. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Browns. Let me run down these numbers quickly. 62 tackles, 11 tackles for a loss, 3 forced fumbles, a sack and a half, an INT. All of that in 12 games last season. He had a touchdown. He was a Butkus Award winner. He was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He was a unanimous All-American. 52nd pick in this year's draft out of Notre Dame. We are joined right now by Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. Jeremiah, good to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm glad to be the guy. Appreciate it to be on the show.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for making time. It's been a few days since you got that call, but how does it feel to be a member of the Cleveland Browns and to officially be in the National Football League?
Sheesh, man. We'll start with the first one, man. Just to be a Cleveland Brown, man, just means a lot in terms of the culture that they are building, in terms of the winning program that I'm being engulfed into. And, you know, I'm glad to be there. In terms of being in the NFL, man, you know, it's been a dream of mine, and to have your dreams come to reality is an immense pleasure. So,
yeah, I appreciate that. Jeremiah, in terms of the draft itself, if you were to go back to Friday night, the moment you got that call from Cleveland, maybe you had to wait a little bit longer than you had expected. So what was it like when that call did finally come in? What do you remember about that specific moment?
Well, you know, I remember a lot in terms of just the feelings that were going through my body, just the understanding that, you know, I would be selected. But most importantly, I think I was just anxious to get to work. As soon as I answered the phone call, I was talking with the guys, and, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, what's to come after. I was thinking about what's the next steps. But, you know, I was also enjoying the moment as well.
Right. So there was a report that a heart issue had been detected, and that might have been a reason why you fell in the draft. What was your reaction to that report, and then what was the entire draft experience like from that regard?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you get news, you get a lot of news, you know, within the draft and the process that's, you know, going through. But, you know, there was something that came up in terms of what guys were saying. But in terms of me, in terms of the personal aspect, there was no really heart issues at all. There was nothing that was too ticked off. And, you know, we went back to Notre Dame and looked at the medical records and everything. I never really had any heart issues or anything going on there. But, you know, you hear a lot of things, but, you know, you got to get it from the source. But
see, so you're telling me it's the source. There's nothing to be concerned about right here. You're not concerned about it, so nobody else should be either.
There you go.
All right, so, you know, I ran down your list of accomplishments at the very top, and your honor is at the top of the conversation, but what jumps out to me even more than the awards is that when you're on the field, the way you get after it, the way you hit, where does that mindset and that mentality come from?
What a foundation. You know, even throughout Little League, man, I've been playing with certain coaches that have an aggressive mindset in terms of being physical, in terms of always being a competitor, no matter who, you know, no matter who the opponent is, and that's the art of the game, just being able to respect your opponent enough to give 100% every time and to make sure that you always come with a physical capacity, because it's a physical game. So, you know, my foundation in terms of where I'm from, my foundation in terms of, you know, how I carry myself and the things that I want to accomplish in life, you know, are the result of how I play the game. So,
you know, Jeremiah, you mentioned that foundation of where you're from. I was going to ask you about that. You grew up in Virginia. You were in the 757. What was life like in the 757? And in terms of foundation, how much did that form the way you are right now and the way you play on the field?
It's all about attitude, man. Coming from the 757, you got a lot of guys with swag. You got a lot of guys with uniqueness, unique athletic ability, but also unique mindsets. You know, I said it before in terms of the competition level. You know, we didn't have the greatest resources, I would per se, But in terms of our attitudes, in terms of how we carry ourselves, wanting to leave the place that we are in better than we found it was, you know, a huge thing in terms of how we carried ourselves day in and day out. So it was always a competitive mindset, and it was always a mindset that, you know, we have a chip on our shoulders. So,
Jeremiah, for those who do not know, when you talk about that 7-5-7 mentality and how it shows up, we're talking about the guys who came before you. We're talking about guys like Allen Iverson, Michael Vick. When you're growing up there and you've got guys like that who are role models, in terms of competitiveness, drive, fire, grit, how much did that influence you?
Man, it influenced a lot, man. Even some of the names that you just named, just looking at the guys and how they come back and how they give back. And we watch some film on them and just how relentless they are. I think that's the greatest word. You know, these guys are very relentless in terms of, you know, perfecting their craft. And, you know, obviously the school of art they're in terms of football, in terms of basketball, in terms of any sport, it's just, you know, it's almost ingrained in terms of where we're from. It's, you know, some may say it's in the water.
So exactly right. So let me ask you this: if it's that important, and it is, where you're from, and so much of your mentality is about where you're from, you were originally going to go to the University of Virginia, but then you changed to Notre Dame. What happened there, and what was it about Notre Dame that appealed to you so much?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I like to hit on the where you from. Where are you from is 757, but you know, Charlottesville, Virginia is a little bit out of the area. Nevertheless. Man, it was really about, you know, authenticity to me, and you know, not that UVA wasn't authentic, but in terms of Notre Dame, in terms of Coach Clark Lee and the scheme and how he presented himself, and you know, his ability to be able to understand the young man, and not only understand the young man in terms of the football aspect, but also understand the development of the young man off the field, was something that was special to me. And on top of Notre Dame's degree value and the academic accomplishments and them being traditionally sound, you know, all those came to mind in terms of my decision. And it was almost a no-brainer, you know, when I really got embedded in culture and I really understood what I wanted. So.
Yeah, Jeremiah, let me go back to Clark Lee, who you mentioned. A couple of months back, I spoke with him, and he did coach you at Notre Dame before he took over as head coach at Vanderbilt. Man, I could not have been more impressed with what I had heard from him. In fact, I'm a middle-aged dude, but I felt like putting on a helmet and going to battle for this guy. Like, what was he like as a coach, and what did you take away from your time with him?
Well, he's kind of the perfect coach that you want, man. He's understandable, but most importantly, he's a guy that is not overly on one side of the coaching aspect. He's not too much on the, you know, tough love, or he's not too much aggressive. He's not too much calm, but he's kind of like in the middle. He knows that it's a time and a place for everything. And, you know, that's truly an art when a coach can understand that it's a time and a place for everything. It's a time to do this, it's a time to do that. And that's what he really taught us in terms of being a leader, is also just being humble, just being a student first. Being the same man every day, you know, taught us the art of words in terms of competition, that, you know, you can't listen to some people that, you know, may praise you too high because you may go in a world that is not really what it appears, and put yourself in, you know, some type of facade. And he taught us a lot of, you know, small things that, that I would carry in. For life, man.
You know, Jeremiah, I'm talking to you right now. It seems like it might be relatively easy. For instance, when I look at what you bring to it athletically, and then you have this great mindset, you think, you know, this is all pretty logical. It's all part of the process. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't easy. As an example, as a freshman, you were on the scout team. Then you broke your foot starting your college career that way. And that could really frustrate a young athlete. It could derail some guys. But those around you said that you just stayed locked in, you continued to learn, and you kept improving. When you look back, what were those first 2 years in college like for you? How challenging were they?
Man, they were rough, man. Especially, you know, coming from a place like we're talking about again, coming from 757, where, you know, it's always competition, and you're always, you know, if you're good, you're on the top of the food chain. And to take a step back, to be able to almost have a fresh start and restart, and, you know, look at the things that are around you, and, you know, looking at people play, looking at people, you know, excel while you just watch it. It's a tough aspect of the game, and but I had to understand early that, you know, it's not the good things that happen that make a man better, but it's the bad things that happen and how that man can persevere through those things, and it's his resilience that will push him forward. So, you know, those are tough years, but all in all, man, when you look back at it and you look back at how much perseverance that took, you appreciate it. And you appreciate the game of football. You play the game of football even with, you know, a heightened attitude because of your appreciation for it and all the lessons that it teaches you. So
I want to ask you a couple of things before you go. Having said that, I think that you're wise beyond your years. As a young person, I think you got a different kind of mindset. For instance, when I was your age, when I was in college, I'll tell you what I was thinking about. I was thinking about me. Now, you're known for your work in the community, but I want to bring this up. When you were at Notre Dame, as a student athlete, you would speak at juvenile detention centers. You would go to churches. Why was that something that was so important to you at that age and even now?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It goes back to foundation. Growing up in the household, my mother raised us pretty well, and my father was there as well. And both of those key people in my life, very spiritual, and they led us in the right direction in terms of spirituality, not just talking about the Bible or not just talking about a spiritual book, but really talking about the appreciation, the understanding, grow your inner man. And that's something that's important to me. I'm not trying to push my beliefs on anyone, but the aspect of becoming a better person, becoming a better man, becoming a better woman, those things are important to me and ultimately are important to the world in its growth. So, the foundation.
Respect. All right, so this is an enormous Cleveland Browns house. I love that team. I love that organization. I love that town. I love that fan base, and that's come from somebody who has done this a long, long time. So tell the fans exactly what can they expect from number 28 this season. What are they getting in you as a player and a man?
Man, I mean, they're getting action. We're obviously having an interview. We're speaking of words, but I'm ready to get to work. They're getting a guy that is committed, that is 100% ready to work, 100% ready to learn, 100% ready to lead. They're getting a guy that is agile, that has a chip on his shoulder, and that is really understanding in terms of what the Cleveland Browns is trying to bring forth in terms of their culture and in terms of ultimately leading to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I love that response. They're getting action. Like, we're getting words right now because it's an interview, but they're going to get action. Jeremiah, quick follow. Like, the chip on the shoulder, from your standpoint, you're a really humble guy. You're a very humble guy, very appreciative guy. You got great perspective. Where is your chip on your shoulder coming from?
My chip on my shoulder comes from what I was speaking on earlier in terms of my appreciation for the game. My appreciation to grow, to understand more, to be the greatest, to be humble, a humble worker. That my chip on the shoulder, it doesn't come from a specific situation, but it comes from a bunch of experiences and a bunch of situations that have happened over a period of time that have led to my my appreciation for football and also my appreciation to understand the game. So,
Dude, you know what? Normally when you hear chip, you think that it's kind of like negative fuel or adversity. This sounds like a positive chip. Is there such a thing as a positive chip on your shoulder? Is that what it is? Are you running on positive fuel?
Look, positive, negative, both of the energies can help you grow. I would say it's a combination of both.
Good. I like it. He's a Buck. Yes, sir. I like that. He's a Buckus Award winner and ACC Defensive Player of the Year, a unanimous All-American as well. The Browns got themselves a linebacker. Jeremiah, great to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Much love. Thank you, man.
Much love. I appreciate that. Well done. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Love that interview. I love a guy like that. Really good dude, really good player, really good background. Ending the interview by saying much love. Much love, bro, and respect. They got a good one. I love that. I love his approach. I love the value in that pick, and I love what he brings to it. And I love that conversation. And I love America's team. You know I do. That's why I call them America's team. Hey, Jim. May the 4th be with you. Regards, Mike Tyson. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. War, Mike, why you gotta talk like that?
Well, for example, rage against Evander Holyfield worked against you.
Well, it's a fight, so whatever happens, happens.
Mike, why do you have to talk like that?
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you. You have a problem, turn off your station.
You know what? I think we'll end the discussion right now.
Then we could.
You got it. Have a nice fight, Mike.
Off.
Class act, buddy.
Three things. Today is May the 4th. That's why Mike in Buffalo said, hey, Jim, May the 4th be with you. Regards, Mike Tyson. Now, Mike in Buffalo, I know you're happy with that, but you shouldn't be. I don't want this getting back to Mike Tyson. Mike and I are good now. Mike wanted to kill me once. Mike told me on the air he wanted to kill me once. I was afraid of Mike then. I'm afraid of Mike now. I will always be afraid of Mike Tyson. I'll admit that. I don't need anybody running any bullcrap back to Mike that's not true. About, hey, Mike, you know, Rome's talking junk about you again. I'm not. Don't send me that bullcrap. And Adam, if it's not too much to ask, don't put that bullcrap in front of me. In terms of that interview, that famous interview, that is the most amazing exchange. Understand that when that interview happened, Mike, I think, was not doing a lot of TV interviews. And Mike literally went F-bomb on TV. And that's not the way the world is right now, where there's all sorts of platforms and you can say what you want in a podcast or on a YouTube channel or anywhere else. I mean, there was TV, there was cable TV, and really nothing else. And Mike's just going straight F you during an interview. And an interviewer at that time, when nobody was standing up to Mike, Russ Salzberg, I believe, Russ is just pushing back like, come on, Mike. Do you really need to be talking like that? Is that really necessary, Mike? Yeah, I don't think so. We're going to end that. And Mike telling him, yeah, you don't like that? You don't like that. Bleep you. Change your channel.
You have a problem? Turn off your station.
My bad. Turn off your station. An absolutely amazing exchange. You know what? You got a problem with me? You got a problem with me? Let's not just end the interview. Why don't we just end your station?
You have a problem? Turn off your station.
You got a problem with me? Let's not just end this interview. Why don't you just turn off your entire station and never broadcast ever again? You got a problem with me? How about that? You go, Mike. Hell yeah, Mike. But props to Russ for not backing down. I mean, back then, there wasn't any of that going on. Hey, Romy, we are all about hotel points. Regards, airline drink ticket guy, Denny in the 402. I mean, I barely remember what it's like to be on an airplane. Honestly, but it's all coming back. When I think about being on an airplane, you know what I think about? I'll say it again. Losing my cell phone in my seat. That is the weirdest, most embarrassing thing of all. Getting up, trying to pull the cushion off. The attendant saying, sir, can I help you with something? Yeah, you can go in that black hole that just sucked my phone out and get it. You can help me with that. Hey, Romy, nothing wrong with sending out stupid tweets that get no retweets, no comments, no likes, and that nobody cares about. Regards, Rit. Ashley in Nebraska. Boy, Hawk could not wait to put that in front of me. Look at Rit. Hey, Rit, he's got a point. Well, she's got a point. Dude, you got to admit, man, all those stupid Hornet tweets that get one like from a family member, probably. The thing about Irv is those stupid tweets, those uninsightful tweets, those super bland tweets. The other day, he had a tweet about the Joker. Like, what kind of insight could there be about the Joker? What could be said about the Joker right now that hasn't been said 18,000 times already? That tweet got 18,000 favorites. So what I'm saying is either Irv, or more likely whoever is running Irv's phone, is pretty self-aware about those stupid tweets, like they're in on the joke. I don't really think that Irv is out up here just tweeting really innocuous things and not having any idea at all. He knows. Those stupid tweets are getting 18,000 favorites. Speaking of May the 4th. Speaking of May the 4th, do you remember when we had a celebrity call in? You never know who's going to call the program, right? I'm just sitting here minding my own business on May the 4th, and what do you know? Chewbacca lobbed me a telephone call. We go now to Alderaan. Chewbacca, Chewy, you're on the air.
Go Browns. Go the Browns.
Go Browns in the middle of that. Further evidence that they're not only America's team, they're the Galaxy's team.
Go Browns.
Go Browns. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so we are open until the top of the hour, meaning I've got two segments for you. What do you want to hit on? When we come back, I want to get into RG3, man. There is Oblivious, and then there's this guy. Absolutely insane take, even for RG3, which I'll have for you. Have you ever seen a car at a stoplight or a parking lot, and it just seems to stand out, right? And it stands out because of that deep, mirror-like paint. You're probably thinking you do not have the cash or the time to spend to get your car to look like that. Think again. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating is a revolutionary new product that provides the same level of protection and shine that you get from a professional detail. And you can do it yourself. That's the thing. You can do it yourself in your own garage. You simply spray it on, you let it haze, then you buff it off. That will give you a year of paint protection, in addition to that amazing depth and gloss that will have others admiring your ride on its next drive and every drive thereafter. It helps to repel dust, it reduces water spotting, and it helps keep your car cleaner between washes. You can also use it on your car's glass, your wheels, and your trim as well. It is now available at Advance Auto Parts and Pep Boys locations nationwide, or you can learn more by going to 303radio.com, 303radio.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Next generation of paint protection is here. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating will provide up to 1 year of professional level protection, insane water beating, jaw-dropping shine, and all with one simple application. Visit 303radio.com for more information. All right, so backtracking. People are really upset. And they're really upset at the watch lister, who is no longer a watch lister, Scabs, because Johnny Scabs went in on Mark from Humboldt. Let me give you some reaction really quickly before I reset. Romy, watch list. This hater should be on the blocked list. Freaking chump. Signed, Jason Mann. Wow, what a complete D-bag. I'd like to punch Scabs right in the face. What a loser. Lance and Boise kind of sums it up right there, right? D-bag, I punch him in the face, loser. Rome, Johnny Coldsore is on my watch list. Regards, the Grim Reaper. All right, he's a D-bag, he's a loser, and he's a Coldsore. And people want to punch him in the face. Rome, don't block Scabs. Every group of friends needs that one screw-up to make the rest of us look better. Like, you're right, honey. I shouldn't have sent Rome 9 OJ resets today. Yeah, I know murder is not funny, but did you hear Scabs? Brett from Bugahaw. Hey, Rome. That Johnny Scabs? He seems like a good person to us. Signed, guys who lie about having a vasectomy so they don't have to use a condom. All right, dude. So you're a D-bag. You're the herp. And you're the guy who lies about having a vasectomy so you don't have to wrap up. All right, so what did this guy do? What did this guy do to engender this much hate? It goes back to an original call from yesterday. Mark from Humboldt made this call.
Old, had a stroke, lost the use of his legs for diabetes. So he's been in bed for 4 months, and he went from 220 to 120. And we couldn't find a reason to get him to eat. But I lay in bed with him, and we listen to your show, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go down to the store, and I'm going to get a bag of Old Trapper. Sure enough, we eat a bag of Old Trapper every single time I lay in bed with him and listen to you. That's the only thing he eats.
All right, so a couple of things. Number one, my bad. I said, hey, Scabs, which I'll get to in a minute. How do you know he had diabetes? Well, Mark did say, my dad has diabetes, so let me correct that. Now, memo to my guy Mark and Pops. If you fellows are bedridden and listening to me right now, I got you. I got you. In fact, all of us do, except for that D-bag Scabs. So why are we D-bagging Scabs? Because all of us heard that call and reacted a certain way, except for Scabs. He heard that call, and he reacted this way.
The next time you need some free product, how about you leave your old man and his stumps out of it? Just because Dad sucked down too many 72-ounce Big Gulps, we're supposed to feel bad? I'm not going to sit here and be remorseful for someone that earned a handicap placard through type 2 diabetes. Better yet, I want to know why you're crawling into bed with Dad. Are you eating 10,000 calories a day, too? I'm guessing you cure your blues with an Arby's 5 for $5 and a plate of mashed potatoes with ranch dressing. Unwar laying in bed all day with your dad eating.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call. I like that call.
I mean, Scabs. I'm laughing not because it's funny, but I'm shaking my damn head in disbelief over how somebody could hear the call that Mark and Humboldt made and then respond that way. Like, Scabs, I'll probably see you in hell. And Scabs, by the way, you're not that bright. Like, I'm on to you. You call the program. You say things to get people to react to you. You say things to get people to look at you. You say things for shock value. Like, I know what you're about, Scabs. It's not funny. It's not cool. And no, this guy did not make that phone call in an attempt to get free product. You know what I bet, Scabs? I bet even more important than him getting some free beef jerky, even if it's from Old Trapper, would be his father having the use of his legs once again. I bet that's more important, Scabs. This guy's like unwar. Individuals slamming 72-ounce Big Gulps on their way to getting a handicap placard. I mean, are you an idiot? Scabs, I mean that rhetorically because I think we know the answer. Let's go back to the phones. See, meanwhile, this idiot is running around high-fiving himself because there's nobody to high-five. And this dude could not be happier with himself. I guarantee it. Let's go to Johnny in Texas quickly. Johnny, good to have you. How are you?
Hey, Jim, you know how I know I'm not the worst of the worst? Because when that bro from Humboldt made that phone call yesterday, I didn't think anything close to what Scabs just went with. In fact, I felt like it was a pretty good little story. A dude just picked up his blower and decided to tell you about it. But Scabs, seriously, bro, I know you wanted reaction, so you're getting reaction. Dude, you came to Texas recently, but you're too good to hang out with us clones, you know? I knew you were in San Antonio, but you can't, you know, pop in and have a cold one with us because you're too good? Well, dude, seriously, you wouldn't fit in with us, bro. Quit calling. I don't know how this guy even got on the watch list. He should be on the do not block list or something. Thanks, Jim. I'm out.
Johnny, did you just say, I don't know how this guy got on the watch list, but he should be on the do not block list? This after you complained that, in effect, you just said, do you think you're better than me? You won't hang out with us? Johnny, are you 9? Hey, you think you're better than me? Johnny, I think you tried to throw a punch. I think you tried to hit Johnny Scabs in the face, and you punched yourself in the face. Scabs is going around high-fiving himself, and you're going around punching yourself in the face. Hey, Rome, don't put him on the watch list, put him on the do not block list. All right, we have ourselves a little hack off now. And that loser scab has never been happier than he is right now. Anyway, that's what all that noise is about. Let's move on to the next thing. 1-800-636-8686. And when I say let's move on to the next thing, let's move on to RG3. RG3 has had a lot of bad takes, but he may have dropped his worst take ever, and I will have it for you when we come back.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. All right, so I said going into that break, let's move on to the next thing. And the next thing is RG3, and we will. But before I move off of the last thing onto the next thing, one more thing, because Scabs is back in. Johnny Scabs, the guy who created all this, just tweeted, quote, "If people think I'm serious, they belong in a rubber room." Oh, okay, Scabs. So first you make light of a guy being in bed with his father, who has lost the use of his limbs because of diabetes and has lost 100 pounds, and now you're making light of mental illness. Keep digging, Scabs. Way to go, Scabs. If I were you, dude, I'd put the phone down. I'd put it down for forever. You want to go in on orphans, people growing up with no parents, homelessness, didn't want any of that? Just stop, Scabs. Quit while you're so far behind, Scabs. All right, so a ton of action in sports over the weekend. A lot of it centering around the NFL draft. You know how it is with the draft, right? People spend months and months and months working on their mock drafts. And by the time the draft does roll around, everybody's a draft expert or a GM, or so they think. Nobody embodies this more than Robert Griffin III, Bob Griffin, Bobby G. Now, you know if I'm talking about this guy in this program, you know it's going to be good. If I'm talking about Bob Griffin and Mike Shanahan, it's going to be even better. Griff was part of Bleacher Report's coverage of the draft, and the talk turned to the 49ers selecting Trey Lance. Griff had thoughts. He had a lot of thoughts, and he had an amazing idea. Listen.
They're going to throw everything at him. I remember one time Mike sat me down and had a 20-word play ready for me in the first practice, and they just sat there and wanted to see if I could spit out every single one of those words and then actually go run the play against a defense led by London Fletcher, one of the best linebackers ever. So I'm excited for him. I think it'll be great. And to be honest with you, I don't think they have a guy on the roster that would be better situated than myself to come in and mentor the kid. So who knows? Hey. Maybe there's a reunion in store with the Shanahans.
A reunion in store with the Shanahans. Did I just hear Robert Griffin III talk about Robert Griffin III joining the 49ers to work with the Shanahans for a reunion, to be a mentor? I could have swore I just heard that. Look, I get that this dude needs a job. I get that this dude is willing to pitch himself to get a job. But that's got to be one of the worst pitches I have ever heard. Pitch being, let's take a horrible situation, one of the worst ever, and instead of trying to forget that it ever happened, why don't we try to recreate it, run it back, and make it happen again with the guy that the team just mortgaged its future for and guys who are risking their jobs and their legacies for. Like, you know that idea that there is no such thing as a bad idea? Yeah, well, that's not this. That's a bad idea. In fact, that is one of the worst ideas ever. I mean, maybe not everybody remembers how that went the last time, but I do. And I'm assuming that Bobby G does too. Or maybe he doesn't. Because this is how this went down. If he remembered how this went down, there's no way he would have said what he just said. But the way it went down, the last time they were all together, Mike Shanahan was the head coach in Washington. Kyle was the offensive coordinator. RG3 was the quarterback, and they had won 7 straight. They end the regular season. They go into the playoffs. Then it all goes to hell. Straight to hell. Because Bob busted up his knee. And from there, things only got worse. Remember, there was that report that he called a meeting with Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, quarterback's coach Matt LaFleur. And in that meeting, Griffin reportedly wrote the following items on the board. Number one, change things. Number two, change our protections. Number three, unacceptable. Number four, bottom line. This dude literally had the nads to roll up on the Shannies like that and bottom line their asses. This dude tried to tell the Lobster and his kid how it was. And that's not all. You might also remember, according to Jason Reed, RG3 asked to speak without being interrupted and, quote, rolled through a list of grievances, stressing that substantive changes had to occur immediately. Scrap the pass protection scheme and start over. Griffin demanded. There were 19 plays, primarily those from the 50 series and quarterback draws that were unacceptable. End of quote. So again, this dude rolled up like this on the Lobster and his kid back in the day. One of the most amazing scenes in the history of the league. And this same dude wants to show up in 2021 and tell that same family, the Shanahans, he's not only here to help, but he's here to shape the future of the franchise because they don't have anybody like that right now there. He's here to make sure that the biggest bet that the Shanahans have ever made pays off. Like, I don't know if that's the ballsiest thing ever or the most oblivious thing ever. And yes, RG3 does know something about Kyle Shanahan's offense. Except not nearly as much as Kyle Shanahan knows about RG3. And knowing what he knows, there is no way in hell Shanny is going to let Bobby in that building. Do you really think that the Shanahans forgot about everything that went down? Do you really think that they forgot this incredible nugget from Mike Silver's reporting back in the day that Griff was not happy with the criticism that he received from Mike Shanahan? Quote, at Baylor, they didn't put RG3's bad plays up on the board in the meeting rooms. Sources familiar with the situation say they've asked the Redskins to do the same, but they have refused to this point. End quote. Do you remember that? I know I do. Because back in 2013, this is how this all went down on this very program.
Gentlemen, this is your quarterback speaking. It is my pleasure to present the Washington Redskins versus the Minnesota Vikings in its entirety. Let's get it on.
Y'all ready for this? Robert under center, turns, play action fake. He's got time over the middle. It is caught. Hankerson into Minnesota territory to the 40. Big play by the Skins passing game. Robert back to pass. Looking, pumps, goes to the end zone at the 2, pump by Reed, and it's a touchdown as he dives in. Great patience by RG3. Robert takes the snap. He's going to keep it on the keeper across the 50 to the 45. RG3 gets a first down. Robert under center, I formation. He's going to play action, fake it. Running out of time, goes end zone, caught, touchdown! Touchdown, Redskins, Logan Paulson.
And that's the game, fellas. Another 158-3 for me. See y'all next week. Bob. Didn't we lose that game? Y'all did, maybe. Not me. The tape speaks for itself.
Me in 2013. I sound exactly the same, don't I? So that guy is pitching himself to mentor Trey Lance. And by the way, how does he see that working? Are the 49ers just going to dump Jimmy G? A guy who's entering his fifth year with Shanahan to bring in RG3 to lecture the coaching staff on what plays are allowed and what plays are not allowed for Trey Lance. Is RG3 going to cut up a series of Trey Lance highlights from North Dakota State to make sure that he has those plays ready to be shown instead of the plays where he makes a mistake and he needs to learn? Man, keep doing you, Bob. Keep throwing up terrible ideas against the wall, no matter how horrible they are, because they're all horrible. And remember, Bobby, no pressure, no diamonds.
No pressure, no diamonds.
Bob Griffin, the man who, with Dan Snyder's help, ended the Lobster's coaching career, right? And he wants to join Kyle, the Lobster, who revolutionized the sport, who Kyle is still bent to hell with Dan over the ending and ruining of his dad's career, the end of his career. Yet this guy wants to get reunited with that same family. You think that guy would take you back, Bob? Are you kidding me? It does not get any richer than that. Kyle is still hot over his dad and the way things ended there with you right in the middle of it. Yet you want to be reunited with Kyle and his dad. You want to be brought back to mentor the most important draft pick in their history. Man, that is straight comedy. Can you imagine going through life that oblivious? That must be absolutely amazing. This guy literally said, I'm the guy to mentor Trey Lance. I think that a reunion of me and the Shanahans would be a great idea. Dude, do you have any idea how badly that ended? How do you not remember that? You may not. Trust me, they do. And this guy's on the air saying, hey man, here I am. You need more help? I mean, I made you two. I made you, Lobster, and your kid. Here I am. Bobby Griff. Still doing Bobby Griff things. Absolutely amazing. When we come back, Rashawn Slater of the Chargers joins me at the top of the hour. That's coming up next. I want to talk Steph Curry, and I want to talk about, I found a bigger bag, actually. A bigger bag than scabs. I will get to that also next hour.